The Lord does reign. And the scripture tells us in Exodus and in the Psalms also, David says, you reign forever. Forever and ever he reigns. What does reign mean? R-E-I-G-N, that kind of reign. It means to rule, to be the boss, to judge, to... It means to be in charge. And that's what God does forever and ever and ever without end. Isn't that awesome? He has been doing it since before the foundations of the earth, and he will keep doing it after this place is laid waste. Isn't that awesome? That's the kind of God we serve, y'all. That's the kind of God we serve. Today we're going to begin looking at something that I read recently, called a book called Essential Church by Tom Rainer and his son, who's also named Rainer, but I can't recall his first name. But read this book, and it really impacted me and struck me, because we as a church have a responsibility to build something. We don't create church. Church has already been created. It was established by the Lord Jesus Christ. But our responsibility as that body of Christ is to become a force that is essential in people's lives. Our response individually is to allow church to become essential to our lives. And that's the kind of the whole premise why they wrote this book. There's a lot of statistics and a lot of studies in here to come up with a lot of numbers. And I'm not going to bore you with all of that. I am going to bore you with some of it. But it's because it's important. And it's important for us to know the numbers that I give to you and spit out at you have been studied, investigated, and proven to be true numbers. And so that's why the whole study, the book that I read, just impacted me, that we as a, not just as this church, but we as the body of Christ have not made him prime in our lives all the time. And we do sometimes, but we've not made Christ the central theme of our entire life, and it shows. And so we're going to go through this, and it may be uncomfortable for you. It certainly could be uncomfortable for me also, but you know what? We need to take a look at ourselves. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It says, let us not give up meeting together. Your translation may also say, let us forsake not the assembling. Or it may say, let us not neglect meeting together. I like that one the best. Let us not neglect. Because it's not something that we just woke up this morning and go, I didn't know I needed to be in church. Scripture tells us, don't neglect that. What happens when you neglect something? When we speak of relationships or something else, a pet maybe. If you've got a pet and you neglect that pet, you've just kind of put that person or that pet or that job or whatever it is, you put it off and said, that's not important to me right now. I'm not even going to pay attention to it. And what the scripture is saying is, don't neglect church. Don't say church is not important to you. Don't put it off and say, I don't need that. He says, contrary, he says, do not neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more, especially as we're growing one day closer to the day of Christ. More than two-thirds of church-going adults, more than two-thirds, almost 70%, of people drop out of church between the ages of 18 and 22. Did you know that? People will drop out of church between the ages of 18 and 22, and the studies show that it actually begins even much earlier than that. At about 16, the fall-off begins. But it doesn't stop at 22 either. The fall-off continues to go on much later in life for some. It will just drop out of church. Now, the statistic also shows that there's a certain percentage of those will come back to church. And we'll get to that, especially when life changes happen. A lot of times when somebody, they're expecting a child, and they'll say, we need to get back in church. We want to raise our child in church. And you know, things like that will bring tragedies. It can cause people to seek the fellowship and seek that community of church. People will be drawn back to church. A certain percent of those drop out, but some of those that drop out, folks, will never step foot back in the church again. We need to study, we need to figure out why, and we need to stop that. We need to stem that tide from happening here in our church, for sure. Here are top 10 reasons why people stopped attending church. This was in the study. Number one was, they say, I simply wanted a break from church. And again, this is focused on young adults, but they're saying, I just want a break from church. I just need a break. I need to chill out. I need to do whatever. They say, I need a break from church. That's one of the top reasons. Another reason is church members seem too judgmental or hypocritical. Matter of fact, I was talking with someone the other day, and they said, was telling me of a friend of theirs that hadn't found a church yet because they haven't found one that's not full of hypocrites. Guess what? I don't think there is one that's not full of hypocrites. Number three, a move to college and a stopped attending church. Moved to college, moved away from the home church, or got employed and moved away and stopped attending church. That was number four. Work responsibilities prevented me from attending. Number five, I moved too far away from the church to continue. I moved too far away. Guess what? Chances are there's probably another church close to where you moved to. Right? But these people have shown that that's an excuse. Is that, well, I moved too far away, so I just stopped going. Number six, I became too busy, although I still wanted to attend. I really wanted to go to church. I was just too busy. There were too many things. My plate was full. I had other things that came first. Sounds bad when you say it that way, doesn't it? But why else would something else come if we didn't put it as more important, right? Number seven, I didn't feel connected to the people in my church. I've been there before. Didn't feel connected. Not here, don't worry. I'm connected with y'all. We're tight. But that's it. That's a reason. I didn't feel connected with the people in my church. Why should I go to a place where there's a whole bunch of people and I don't have a connection with any of them? Why would I go there for that? That's an excuse or a reason that some people gave for stop attending church. Number eight, I disagree with the church's stance on political and social issues. Not much explanation needed for that. They disagreed with the church's stance on political or social issues. Number nine, I chose to spend more time with friends outside of church. And that's a choice. I chose to spend more time with friends outside of church. Number 10, I found out that I was only going to church to please others. Growing up, I was going to church just to please mom and dad, and now that I'm not under their roof anymore, I don't want to go. Because it was just for them anyway. That's what some of these people have said. The top 10 reasons are those. Now, this study did focus on the people between the ages of 16 and 22, but the truth is that people of all ages drop out of church. Basically, it's this. People drop out of church because they don't see church as essential to their lives. That's it. And if that's true, the opposite also has to be true. People will stay in church if they see that church is essential to their lives. Do you agree? If I got to have it, I mean, think of something else that you just need, that you got to have. Running water. Electricity. I mean, those are not necessities. We don't have to have those because, I mean, people got along fine before that stuff came around. But now that we have it, some of you are saying, my iPhone is a necessity. It's essential to my life. If I didn't have it, I don't know what I would do. Listen, why isn't church that way? Why isn't it that, oh my good, if I don't go to church, if I don't go and fellowship with those people, if I don't come and go and worship and lift God up high, if I don't come and spend time in prayer, if I don't open up the Word of God and allow it to impact my life, if I don't do that, I just don't know what I would do. Why isn't church like that to us? Now, some of you, look, many of you, church is that. I know that because I see you here every time the doors are open, okay? But there are others that church is just not that priority yet. Our goal is to allow that to sink in and to allow church to become a priority. Church doesn't save us. Church is not the salvation. Going to church doesn't save you. But I'll tell you this. Coming to church will introduce you to the one who can. Coming to church will help you grow in that relationship with the one who has saved you. Coming to church will allow you to fellowship with a body of believers, with those who are like-minded, that serve the same Savior. Coming to church, you identify with a group of people who will lift you up and support you. Because there's coming a time when you're going to need it. Some of you have experienced that. Some of you are going to experience it just because that's part of life. Over the next several weeks, we'll be looking at what we can do as a church to become an essential church. Essential churches have four main components, okay? But this is what we're going to be focusing on for the next several weeks. Essential churches have learned to simplify. Simplify. Make it simple. Warren, what was the first sermon I preached when I came here? Keep it simple. It's simple. You know, it really is simple. And the thing is, what they're going to be talking about here, what we're going to be talking about is churches have become complicated. You have to jump through all these hoops, and you have to do this and that and that. And you have to, you know, there's just so much stuff involved. And it doesn't have to be that way. Keep it simple. Number two, essential churches have moved their members to deepen their knowledge of God's Word and His truths. We keep it simple. We focus on the Word of God and gaining that knowledge of who God is and who He wants us to be. We deepen in that knowledge and understanding of God. Okay? That's two. Number three, essential church has a high expectation of its members. Think of it. Most sports teams and civic organizations expect more from their members than churches do. If you're on, how many select ball players or baseball players or some other kind of sports people we have? Okay. Does your team expect anything from you? Do they expect you to show up? They do? Wow. Do you have to pay to play those? Do they expect you to pay those dues? To pay those fees? They do. Do they expect you to participate? You not just show up and kind of sit over there and watch? They expect you to participate. Listen, they expect a lot more than what most churches do. And here's a statement I want you to listen to. And when expectations are low, commitment is low. If we don't expect much from the church members are going to say, well, what am I supposed to commit to if they don't expect anything from me? I'll just do whatever. When expectations are low, commitment is low. Number four, an essential church is committed to helping its members multiply spiritually. You see, evangelism is the heartbeat of an essential church. A church that has become a place in people's lives where they just can't do without has these four things. It's simple. It's not complicated. Okay? It is a place where I can deepen in my knowledge, a place where they have expectations of me, and it's a place where evangelism has a priority in the church. That's it. Basically, it's this. To simplify, you get the structure right. To deepen, you get the content right. To expect, you get the attitude right. And to multiply, you get the action right. When we get that right, then we will become a church that is essential to people's lives. And people will become essential to the church also. I know I'm throwing a lot of statistics at you and a lot of stuff, but just bear with me. There are a lot of churches out there. This is not one of them, but there are a lot of churches that are dying. How many of you know of a church right now that is dying or diminishing? Or look at that. There's a lot of churches out there that are just... I don't think we're dying, but I think we do have some symptoms that some of the dying churches have, and I'm going to talk to you about just a few of those. And if not dealt with and not fixed in the long run, they will kill churches. Number one is a doctrine dilution. You know what it means to dilute? What do you do to dilute something? You water it down. That's right. That's what we're talking about, watered down doctrine. Watering down Scripture is not the answer to reaching others for Christ. Certain absolutes found within Scripture, such as the exclusivity of Christ, must be followed if the church is going to thrive. There are some things that a guy used to tell me one time. There are lots of hills where battles take place, but I'm not willing to die on all of them. But there are some hills and some battles that take place that I'm willing to die for because they're that important. They're that essential. Number two, loss of evangelistic passion. Dying churches have little evangelistic passion. They stop speaking about Christ to the world. You know, when Peter and John faced the tribunal in Acts chapter 4, their accusers were amazed at their boldness. Y'all remember that? When they said, look guys, go. We're going to beat you, and we're going to let you go, but don't speak about this Jesus anymore. How'd they respond? Acts chapter 4 verse 20 says, we are unable to stop speaking about what we've seen and what we've heard. We can't stop. We can't stop. We've seen it. We've heard it. We know it's true. They have an evangelistic spirit that is essential. Number three, reasons why churches die. They failed to be relevant. They fail to be relevant. The unchanging truths of Scripture will always contain the answer for those searching to fill the void in their lives. However, we must find ways to relate this gospel message to the world around us. You see, we're not like a big city church that has all the fancy stuff. And we don't need to be like a big city church. We're not like a Brush Arbor church meeting under the brush. Some of you are saying, thank goodness, because we have air conditioning. But we don't need to be like that. We're not like, I love Cowboy Church, and I have nothing against Cowboy Church. I think they're doing a great thing. But we're not a Cowboy Church, so we don't need to try to be like a Cowboy Church. You know what we are? We're a Dolan Church. Guess how many Dolan churches there are out there? We're it. So we need to be all that we can be to be the best Dolan church that's ever going to be found on the face of the earth. We are us. We are God's body here in this community. We don't need to try to be anybody else. Every church should be unique and relevant to the people in their area. We must ask, how can we best relate the unchanging gospel to the constantly shifting culture around us? You see, culture changes, doesn't it? What was Dolan 50 years ago is different than what Dolan is now. Am I right? Some of you have been here. Come on, tell me. Am I right? Yes. What was Dolan 30 years ago is different than what Dolan is now. Good grief. What was Dolan 4 years ago is different than what Dolan is now. And let me tell you something, in case you haven't figured out the trend, what Dolan is now is going to be different than what Dolan will be 5, 10, 15 years down the road from now. So the question is this: how can we best relate the unchanging gospel, because the gospel does not change. But how do we transmit that unchanging message to a world that is constantly changing and changing at a pace that is much more rapid than ever before? Number four, reason why churches die: few outwardly focused ministries. You know what that means? They're focused on us. The chant of the dying church is this: it's all about us. It's all, we love getting together with just us. It's kind of like a club, right? And you have to have a special, the right handshake or special password to get in. And it's just it's us. And we know you're part of the group. If you can participate if you're part of the group. That's what one thing that kills churches. These churches gorge themselves on closed Bible study groups and church-wide fellowships while neglecting the community. The essential church focuses outward. Number five, reason why churches die: conflict over personal preference. Are the bulletins supposed to be folded twice or just once in the middle? Are they supposed to be blue or can they also be another color, even if it's not a special day? Should we use hymn books or the big screen? Should we have the blinds open? Should we have the blinds closed? What type of landscaping materials should we use? These insignificant conflicts can smother a church and overshadow the true purpose of the church. You see, when we focus on trivial matters, the greater gospel message is left on the sidelines. While we're focusing on landscape materials and whether railroad ties or landscape timbers or bricks are appropriate, somebody's not hearing about the Word of Christ. Somebody's not hearing about what Christ has done for them, how He sacrificed and paid the penalty that we all owe. Essential churches grasp the primacy of the gospel. Anybody, any Star Trek fans? Anybody Star Trek Trekkies out there? Anybody ever seen Star Trek? Okay. It's not everybody's a fan. That's cool. I understand that. One of the things in Star Trek, for those of you don't know, is a movie started, the original Star Trek is what I remember, with William Shatner, Captain Kirk. Beam me up, Scotty. Come on. Okay. They had the Prime Directive. Anybody know what the Prime Directive was? Starfleet issued to their all their Starfleet officers the Prime Directive. Here's the Prime Directive. It dictates that there can be no interference with the internal development of alien civilizations. They couldn't just show up on some planet that had never seen men from outer space and give them technology, and they couldn't impact their civilization like that. That was the Prime Directive. Everything fell under that. That's why they had to kind of go incognito and undercover and into these places and help them do whatever, but they had to do it under the Prime Directive. They had to be submissive. They had to follow the Prime Directive. Everything falls under that and is secondary to the Prime Directive. Guess what? We have a Prime Directive. Our Prime Directive is the gospel message. And everything we do needs to come under that and secondary to the Prime Directive, the gospel message, the message of Jesus Christ. Because does the church save? We answered this earlier. Does the church save? No. Who saves? Then that's who people need to meet. Number six, reason why churches die: the priority of comfort. Dying churches are comfortable with their ministries. They do nothing outside their comfort zone. Dying churches say things like this: we've never done that before. Dying churches say, we've never done that before. You know what essential churches say? We've never done that before. But they follow it up with this: but we'll do whatever it takes. We've never done that before, but we'll do whatever it takes to reach people for Christ. That's the difference. Number 7, reason why churches die: biblical illiteracy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." This right here is so valuable. It's the word of God. When we read it, when we know it, when we memorize it, when we apply it to our lives, it's powerful and it's effective. Scripture tells us that the word of God, when he puts his word out, it will accomplish what he set it forth to do. It's that powerful. If we don't understand the basics of Scripture, we're hampered in our ability to tell other people about Christ. Do you know that? Would you agree that you need to know some things in here before you can tell people about it? Absolutely. Absolutely. We must become familiar with this book. If we don't comprehend the Scripture, we will have trouble remaining obedient to the commands found in Scripture. How can you remain obedient to something you don't know? Has anybody ever been pulled over by one of our fine, outstanding law enforcement agents? And we tell them, "Sir, I did not know that. I did not know that was speed limit. I did not know that was a law. I didn't know I had to do that." And how many of you have ever heard this response? "Ignorance is no excuse for the law." Ignorance is no excuse for this either. We must become familiar with this book, with the commands that are found in it. I believe that we as a church have a responsibility to do all that we can to become essential in the lives of the people in this community. I also believe that we as a people need to do all we can to make sure that church remains an essential part of our life. Is church essential in your life? Is it essential in your life? Have you come to the point where you say, "I need it. I got to have it. I don't know what I would do without it. I got to get it. I'm going to get it. Whatever it takes, I'm going to get it. I'm going to be there." Maybe you're thinking, "Well, I don't have to be in church regularly to be a Christian." And you know what? I can't argue with that. I can't argue with that. But I will tell you this: you will never be all that God desires for you to be without the support, the fellowship, and the instruction you receive in church. Church doesn't make you a Christian, right? So not being in church can't make you un-Christian. But this is where we grow, folks. This is where we grow. This is where we're stretched. This is where we're challenged. This is where we're comforted. This is where we have fellowship. We come together. We call each other brothers and sisters because that's the kind of relationship we have. We can call on one another in times of need. We can bring food to somebody's house when they can't fix food for themselves. All of these things we do for one another is important, right? But don't forget that dying churches only look at each other. They don't look outside the walls. We're going to talk more about that in upcoming weeks. And I pray that you'll go with me on this journey as we look at ourselves and look at our priorities. And I pray also that we all open our hearts and listen to the Lord as He instructs us. The Lord is speaking to me as I generate this material, as I pour. I'm not going to read the whole book to you because it took me a long time, because I don't read fast. But as I read the book, here's what I did. I listened to the book on CD. 6 or 7 discs. I listened to the whole book. I thought, I got to read that. Because you can't always just, sometimes you can't just comprehend everything when you just listen to it. So I had to get the book. Got my book and my highlighter, and I just started going through there. Now all that stuff that I highlighted is finding its way onto this paper that I type up, and it's being spewed out to y'all. And if you want a copy of this, I'd be glad to give it to you. But as we go through this, y'all, my goal, what I believe God is telling us as a church is that, look, church is not just something that is for fun. Church is not just something that we do just, once a week. It's not something we just do because we're in the habit of it. Yes, it needs to become a habit, but not just because it's a habit. It needs to become essential to our lives. As we go through this, I pray that you'll take this journey with me. I think it's going to be a good journey. I think we're going to come out on the other side of this with maybe a new perspective of what our role as a church is in this community. Maybe what our role individually is within this body of believers. And what maybe a new idea of what the role of the church has in my life. I pray that that's where we end up, and that it's not a journey that we find the end to. I pray that that's a journey that we continue to be on for the rest of our lives, because that's what God's called us to do. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't give up meeting together. Don't neglect coming together. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're challenged by that. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I've been guilty of neglecting church. I've not been a part of church like I need to be. I've not been involved. I've not been participating. I've not been challenged. I've not put myself in a position to be repeatedly read the scripture, to be repeatedly challenged, to be touched, to be invited into the very presence of God through worship. Maybe that's you today and you want to say, today's the new day. Just like Kendra did earlier. This is a marker in my life. Today's the day when I start afresh. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've never started that journey. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, okay, I've heard of Jesus, but you talk about this relationship. I'm not really sure about that. What does that mean? I don't get it. If that's you, I would love to visit with you about that. Show you some scripture. Walk you through what the Bible says about that. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, I've been doing that, Brother Mike. Church is essential to my life. I need it. I have to have it. I'm here every time the doors are open. You know that. And yes, I do know that. Let me challenge you in this. Is it because it's what you've always done and you don't know any other thing to do? Or is it because I do need it? I'm growing. I'm stretching myself each and every time. I pray that the latter is true in your life. Here's the deal. At this time of our service, we're closing, we're wrapping up. I don't even know what time it is. Don't really care. But here's what's important. Your relationship with Jesus is your relationship with Jesus. It's not mine. I have my own. And you can't have it. It's essential to my life. I pray that the relationship you have with Jesus is essential in your life. And I pray that you will do all that you can to grow that relationship, to deepen that relationship, to stretch yourself in that relationship, to know more about Him. What better place to do that than in the church? As we sing the song in just a few moments, I just want you to ask yourself, where am I in my journey? And am I willing to take it to the next level? And if that's you, I challenge you to respond. It's a challenge. I dare you. I challenge you to respond and allow people to hold you accountable, just like Kendra did earlier. It's bold. It's bold to do that, to step out, especially in front of your peers. But to say, this is where I want to be. I'm not sure I can get there by myself. I need you to help me. Would you do that? Would you do that? Let's stand and we'll sing. If you need to respond,